That sounded pretty good for a guy. For a guy that said, "I've been sick, I don't know if I can sing." Praise God for what God is doing.
Amen.
Glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I've got a thought on my heart I want to try to share with you. The title is Hungry for God. Amen. You know, if you want the Lord in your life, He'll be glad to oblige you.
Amen.
If you want the Lord to be the leader of your life, He'll be glad to do that. You ever think about what God wants from you? Sometimes people think, well, you know, all the church wants is this or all the church wants is that. Let me tell you what my number one heart's desire is. Kind of like what Paul said. He said, "My heart's desire in prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved."
Yes. Amen.
And that's my heart's desire for any person that's lost that comes in the doors of this house, that you'd meet Jesus.
Yes.
But it doesn't stop there. My heart's desire, if you go on and read what Paul wrote in his writing, as he said, his desire was that you might grow.
Amen.
If you want God to be first in your life, if you want Him to be in your home, if you want Him to be in your decisions, and you want your life to be better, God will help you with that. Now, I believe there's people here this morning that have a hunger for God. And I'm going to read in Matthew chapter number 5. In just a minute, but I got to thinking about it, and if you look through your Bible, there's three different places, and I just jotted them down here, where people were so hungry for God, and they sought the Lord, and after the Lord began to move, or after God did move, they just began to glorify Him. One is in 1 Samuel chapter 2, you find the song of Hannah. Hannah so desired a child from the Lord that she went before the Lord and she prayed and she vowed and she said, "God, if you'll just bless me with a child, I'll give him back to you." See, there's a prayer request, there's an answer, and then there's a question of what are you going to do with it when you get it? Are you going to honor and glorify God if He answers your prayer? If He doesn't, He already knows that. Sometimes that has to do maybe with why He does or does not answer. Quick story, I'm going to try to move, okay? Sometimes, and I know y'all find this hard to believe, but I'm sitting right here and I'm praying, "Oh God, please help me this morning. There's people here, I've got to preach." And then I get up here and He jumps on me and I can't hardly preach what He's given me. But I remember one time going when I was with a little boy, probably early teenage years, maybe even younger than that, with my dad, and we went to a house to see a lady that was very sick. They had sent her home to die. My dad was a pastor all my life, folks. I've been to funeral homes, I've been to nursing homes, I've been to hospitals, as long as I remember. But I remember this one specifically because I was standing behind my dad as he walked over to the bed, and the lady reached up and grabbed his hand. She said, "Would you please pray for me? If you just pray for me, if God would just raise me up, if God would just answer my prayer, if God would just let me get out of this bed, I promise, I vow before God that I will spend the rest of my life serving Him." It's with somebody, you know, you invite them to church and you invite them to church, and there's always a reason why they can't come to church. But you still love them, and you go see them, and you pray for them. She said, "I'll be there, I'll serve God." And, you know, my dad, he prayed, and he's just a man. God answered that prayer. That lady was healed, and she was able to get up and go on with her life. But, Brother Tommy, I never saw her in church one time. You know, the stories that I want to mention to you here, 1 Samuel chapter 2, the song of Hannah, she vowed before the Lord, "God, if you'll just give me a child, I'll give that child back to you." You know the story of what Hannah did. She weaned that child and took him over to Eli the prophet and said, "Here's Samuel, who became the judge, the prophet of God. God knows."
Amen.
But when you hunger for God and you desire God, let me tell you something, He hears you, and I want you to know as His children, it is God's desire to bless you. God wants to bless your home. God wants to give you a better job than you ever had. God wants to give you deliverance. But you ought to have something that you want from Him to give back to Him.
Amen.
2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1 to 51. we find David's song of deliverance. It says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all the enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." Now, folks, this goes on. That's four verses. For 51 verses, all David does in this song is praise God. But one thing you find about David when you read about him, he had a special relationship with God, and he hungered for God, and he desired God. And we're going to read some verses in a little bit out of the book of Psalm. But here's the point. If you want him, he's not far away.
Amen.
You just got to call out to him, and you say, "Well, I don't know. I don't have the ability." Remember the song? He can reach further down than we can reach up. And then if you go to Luke chapter 1, verse 47 and 55, there was a little girl named Mary. The angel of the Lord visited her and told her something's about to happen. God's chosen you for a very special thing. And can I tell you, I believe there's somebody in the house like that today. God's got a plan for your life, and all he wants you to do is be attentive and listen enough that he can do something in you and through you. And when he does it, give him the honor and glory for it. This is called the Magnificat of Mary. And here's what she started off with. "My soul doth magnify the Lord." You see, when you hunger for God and you desire the things of God, I'll tell you where it begins. It begins down on the inside of the soul. It's not on the outside. You see, sometimes people do things in church, or they do things for God just so they can be seen. But that's not what we're talking about. When you have a hunger for God that begins down in your soul, and you desire him, and you want him, and you want a relationship with him, let me tell you something. When you do something, you're going to do it for the honor and glory of God. And it don't matter whether anybody sees it. It don't matter whether anybody pats you on the back. You're going to do it for him. I want to read Matthew chapter number 5, and I want to read a few verses. This is the attitudes, or as I heard a preacher say one time, it's the attitudes that ought to be. The Beatitudes. That works, doesn't it? And there's 12 verses, but we're going to look and concentrate on verse number 6. And this is Jesus speaking, and it says this. "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain and went. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And that poor there, let me just say this, that's not talking about people that don't have nothing in their pocket. That's not it at all. What it's talking about is the humble. There's a whole message for that, but I'm going to have to move on so I won't get in that rabbit trail. It's there. "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Amen.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Now let's go back to verse number 6. It says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now understand, as we look at this sixth verse, who is talking about being blessed. Who is blessed? It is those who hunger or desire to be blessed. Sometimes we can have a desire, we come before God and we're desiring God to do something, but God knows our hearts. When we desire God first and we want Him first, it's not like coming to God and saying, I want this or I want that. Folks, that happens all the time. If I were to tell you the people that I've prayed with and counseled with, they come and they're brokenhearted, they're grieved, they've been mistreated at work, they've been mistreated at home, they've been mistreated over here, or maybe their plans didn't turn out the way that they thought, and they're looking for God to do something. When what God is looking for is them. You see, God don't care if you live in a 3,000 square foot house or a 6,500 square foot house, whether you drive a new truck or an old truck. The question is, when you're in it, are you living the way God wants you to live, at peace with God? And is God leading your life the way that He wants you to live it? If not, you could be in the wrong place. Because the number one thing in your life of importance is where you are walking with God, in the peace with God on this life. The scripture here doesn't say, blessed are they which, in fill in the blank of what most people do in life, but are you hungry for the things of God? And I want to tell you something about these Beatitudes, folks. These are not spiritual gifts. It's not something you can look at and say, well, they're blessed with it and I'm not. If you want God, you can have Him just as much as somebody else.
Come on.
But I want to remind you what's not mentioned here. What's not hungered for is the world. You see, the world has a hunger and it has a thirst. And we see it all around us every day. There's a hunger for the things of this world. And you can fill in the blank. And there are so many. But it seems like today, even in the place of riches or fortune, you see fame, you see recognition, you see power. Where people have a desire, and it's so bad sometimes when people are able to obtain these things, they cannot function in life. That's why the person that was promoted over you, that works, used to work beside you, that's why they act so crazy. You ever had one like that? People get an education and they think they're the ultimate authority. That's why we have to be careful of what's going on around us. You know, but people desire, they hunger, they want, they look to achieve. You fill in the blank. If I could only have, what if you could only have one thing? Would you want peace with God, or would you fill in the blank of something in this world? You see, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17 says this. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, which is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away. Get a hold of that. Everything that you could desire, want to have in this world, it's going to be gone. When you die, you're not going to take it with you. And can I tell you right now that King Tut did not get to enjoy anything that he buried.
Amen.
The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Amen.
And then it says this in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now let me tell you something, and I'm going to move on because we got some points I want you to understand. Folks, I don't have nothing against the blessings of this life. I know some of you like to do some things. I mean, we got golfers in this church. We got fishermen in this church. We got people that enjoy the woods in this church. And I think we got a few shoppers in this church. I know some of you got more pairs of shoes than I got rifles, so don't talk to me about my hunting stuff. You know, today in the day and time that we're living in, when you go to an architect and you're looking at building a big house, I don't know if y'all really understand this, but I've seen it. One of the biggest rooms in the house today is the closet. Now, folks, there's nothing wrong with having that stuff. That's not what this message is about. God wants to bless you. And if you can work and do what you're supposed to do and give God what rightfully belongs to Him, and you got a $100,000 bass boat, and you got this, and you got that, and you got a $100,000 truck, it's hard to believe they cost that now, but you can spend it. It's okay, it's fine. It's okay to have four sets of golf clubs. Just know when to say amen. So let's understand that. God wants to bless you.
Amen.
And, you don't have to be, and this is, I wish people get a hold of this. You don't have to be dumb and poor to be a Christian.
That's right.
What you want to do is let God take you and make you the best that you can be and put God in His proper place.
Yeah.
You might find that God will give you more than you ever thought you would have.
Amen.
So what does it mean to hunger for God? I want to give you the meaning. What does it mean? What does it mean to hunger for God? It means I want God more than I want anything else. It is to long for God to where it's not just something that's on the outside, but it's something that comes down into the inside of your soul. And we read a little bit about David, but I want to give you a verse over here in Psalms 42, verse 1 to 2. It says this, as the hart or the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. And when shall I come and appear before Him? And then in Psalms 119 in verse 131, it says this, I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Psalms 119 in verse 18 says this, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You know, there needs to be a time in every person's life when you're able to do this. You turn the TV off, you turn the radio off, you turn the games off, you turn the Facebook off, and you just sit and you don't do anything else but seek God and listen to God. I was able to sit out under the stars Friday night, and it was about after 10 o'clock before I got down to where I was going, and I built a campfire, and I just got a chair, and I sat out there in the silence, and I looked up at the stars, and God was present where I was at.
Yes.
And I wanted Him more than I wanted anything else. And you know what's going to make your life the best life it can be? Is put God first.
Yes.
Not that God cares about you having the other things, but you got to want Him more than you want anything else. I want God. I believe it means to search for God. And this is a personal journey. Being saved or salvation is personal. It's between you and Him. What I have won't work for you. It has to be yours. The Bible says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And can I tell you today, the verse I'm about to read to you is still applying to my life every day. This is in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse number 13. The first part of the verse says this, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. Now, when I read that verse, if you got your Bible, it's okay to do this. Go to Jeremiah 29:13 and write your name beside that verse. That verse is for you. You say, well, if I seek the Lord, He's not going to come to me like He does you or that one over there. God wants you. He wants a personal relationship with you. And when you seek Him, you will find Him.
Yes.
When you search for Him with all of your heart. See, first is the meaning. Now, I want you to see the marks. How do you know somebody is searching for God? When I look up on Sunday morning, I've told the deacons this, and I'm looking for you. I want you to understand that. You say, well, you don't know me. I was looking for you before you got here. Because I stand over here, I stand in the corner, sometimes I stand over there, and I'm looking for people to come in. And I've told the deacons this. I said, I cannot call every person that was not at church on Sunday morning. That's why every deacon has about 8 to 12 families. I said, you look for your families and you call them when they're not there. And you say, well, they get offended if I call. Call them anyway.
Amen.
Sometimes if they might get offended if you call, they go more offended if they gone for a month and you didn't say nothing to them. Well, why are you saying that? Here's why. I'm looking for you on Sunday morning because God is looking for you. And because God loves you, He has put a love in my heart for you because you are special to Him just like you are. And like I heard a preacher preach one time, warts and all.
Amen.
What's that mean? That means for those of you that have been perfect this week, that doesn't apply to you. Here's what I want you to understand. God knows you and He loves you. And if you're hungry for God, you got to come to the house of God sometimes, warts and all. And not let the devil keep you away from the house of God because you ain't been perfect. God knew you wouldn't be perfect. That's why He went to a cross. See, the first mark is they're found at the house of God. They're hungry for God's word. They're hungry for the preached word of God. They're hungry to hang around God's people. And they're conscious of themselves. You see, when you're hungry for God and you come to the house of God, here's why you need to be here. It's not hear me, I'm nothing. So God can speak to you. You see, all I can do is try to deliver the sermon, the message, whatever the thoughts that God's given me, and pray and do the best job that I can. But I can't do this, and this is what God does. He goes right down every aisle to every person through the power of His Holy Spirit, and He speaks. And He speaks to you because He loves you, and He has something very special for you. And being the God that He is, He can handle your issues, your problems, your needs, while handling all of these other ones because He's God, He loves you. But for you to be filled, you must have a hunger, and you must come. You see, they're found seeking. And sometimes the marks of someone who's hungry for God is they're found doing good. See, we're not saved by our works, but the Bible does say that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You see, when God saves you, He changes you. And if you study in the book of Acts, chapter 10, 38, and the latter part of the verse speaks of Jesus, and it says this, He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him. And then in James, chapter 2, verse 17, it says this. Now remember, we're not saved by our works. But when we get saved, does it cause us to be different? I believe it does. And I believe it puts something in us that ought to grow. You want it to grow? Hunger for God. So you see, even though faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. But then he says this. Show me your faith without your works, and I'm going to show you my faith by my works. Now, works don't save you. But if you get saved by the grace of God and you want God to bless you, serve God. One time I preached a funeral, and I used the acrostic. I don't use acrostics a lot, but I used the word joy. Here's an acrostic. Jesus first, others second, and you last. You see, if we ever get to the point that we're doing that, here's what's going to happen to us. We're going to be hungry for God, seeking God. God, help me with my problems. Help me with my issues. Lord, my heart, my burdens. All of a sudden, when we start to care for others, it begins to heal us. Another mark of someone who hungers for God is they hate evil. You know, the day and time that we're living in, Christians ought to be at odds with this world. And I'll tell you, this world's at odds with you. If you believe this Bible, and I thought about starting every message this way, because I actually had a counseling session with somebody this past week, and he asked me some questions, and they were tough. I said, well, let me start this way. This is God's Word.
Yes.
I did not write this. Y'all know I didn't write this, right?
Yes.
So when I open it and I preach out of it and I read out of it, this is the ultimate authority. It's the Word of God. It's alive.
Amen.
And it wasn't written by one man. written in three different languages over a period of a couple of thousand years as holy men of old were moved on by the Holy Spirit. The world is at odds with you as Christians, and we read that in the Beatitudes because of this and because of that. But I'll tell you something, if you love God, there's a lot going on in this world that you ought to be at odds with. There's a lot of sin, there's a lot of pain, and sometimes some of the things that I hear, some of the things that I read in the headlines, I'm just going to tell you, I fear for this nation. Please keep praying, Christians, because it's your prayers that's holding America together. See, David said in 139, verse 21 and 22, he says, "Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred, and I count them as my enemies." That's Psalms 139. Doesn't mean we don't love the soul. But I want to tell you something. I look over here at you young people. I want to tell you something. God's the right way. You listen to Brother Allen when he preaches to you. When you stand in this world of liberalism and the sin that they're pushing, I want to tell you something. Yeah, I'm a Christian, and yeah, I'm a preacher, but sometimes I do get angry when I hear of some of the things that are going on. And if I'm going to think that somebody's going to take my two sons and teach them that some of the things in this world that's being accepted today, yes, it angers me. David said, "I hate evil." But here's something else I want you to understand that is a mark of a Christian, is they are blessed by God. Sometimes I think we misunderstand how to count blessings. I want to go over to Psalms chapter 1 and read you just a couple of verses. I consider myself extremely blessed because I had a dad that hungered after righteousness. And sometimes I cannot help but believe, and I know I've said this before, but it come to my heart as I'm preaching this, that God has blessed me because the way that my dad hungered for him. See, my dad was just like anybody else. He was lost before he got saved. But when he got saved, he got a hunger for God. And he gave me the greatest thing that I could ever hope for when he left is a testimony and a heritage of what this scripture actually means. Listen to this in Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." You know, there's a verse that talks about Christians, says that he will make even your enemies to be at peace with you. See, I believe God's big enough to handle whatever it is. Sometimes we get in a hurry and we want to help God. But God can handle it. Now let's consider the measure of how we measure a hunger for righteousness. Here's what I want us to understand. I want God to bless this church. I want God to bless my children. I want God to bless our youth. I want God to bless our Sunday school classes. I want God to bless our wild game banquet. I want God to bless our spring fling. I want him to bless Awana. Well, what can I do? I don't consider myself capable of doing those things. And even when I look at myself, I have to be careful, because the truth is, most of the time when I come before him and I seek him, I feel unworthy. You say, "Well, you're the preacher." I'm just like you. And let me tell you something. Moses was too.
Amen.
So was Abraham. You see, the scripture tells us in Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 4 through verse number 6, excuse me, it's 64, verse 6. I can't even read my own typing. It says, "But we are all as an unclean thing." Now listen to this, "as." Understand the context of the scripture. "And all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we do fade as a leaf, And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. What does that mean? You can't do it. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. That means if I try to turn over a new leaf, can't do it. If I try to bring a blessing, can't do it. If I try to solve a problem, I can't do it. If I try to make things work, I can't do it. If I try to deal with people's problems in myself, I can't do it. You and I can't do it. So what's the measure? How can we do it? Through Jesus Christ. You see, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 21 says this, "For he, God the Father, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin." That Jesus was sinless. That's part of the tenets of the faith that we need to believe to understand if we're going to be saved and understand this Bible. People are going to argue with you, well, Jesus wasn't sinless. Yes, he was. He was the Son of God. He was also born of a virgin birth. And because he was sinless, he stood before God and he was accepted as a sacrifice so that we could stand in his place holy, and he accepted all the sin of the whole world on himself. How and why? So that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So what's the measure? The measure is Jesus. It's not about how good I am. It's not about me comparing my sin to yours. And that's why sometimes people say, well, you don't know what I've done. I've been so bad. I don't have to know. God knows that he loves you anyway. Yes. And sometimes it's even this. If I stand up here and I say, well, I ain't never done that, does that make me righteous? The answer is no. Because what the Bible teaches about sin is if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of them all. The point being, every person needs Christ. You'll not have holiness, you'll not have peace without God. Which leads to the last. It's what's the making of a righteous man? Or what is the making of a person who hungers after Christ? Number one is regeneration. Now, I know that's a theological term. But here's what it means. It means you just got to be saved. You know, we have Celebrate Recovery at this church. I love Celebrate Recovery, but I want to tell you something. If you've had an alcohol problem and you've been going to AA and you're doing better, you can go to hell sober.
Amen.
And you say, well, that's hard doctrine. Let me tell you something about that, and I'm going to try to move as quickly as I can. Hell was not created for any human being.
Right.
It wasn't. People say, well, I'm not going to serve a God that's cruel, that wants to punish people. I want to tell you something. If God had a big stick and he wanted to punish people, America would be wiped off the face of the earth for killing millions of babies every year, for the acceptance of sin that we have in this nation, for the way schools are being taught. I want to tell you something. God loves you and his mercy is being extended. Well, where are you going to go if you don't want to go to heaven? See, the Bible says that hell was created for the devil and his angels, not for you. But when people stand up and say, I'll never bow to God. You really want to go to heaven and be with me when I'm going to be dancing around a throne praising Jesus?
Amen.
I'm going to be talking with Paul about what he wrote. And I'm going to say, tell me some of them things that are written over there where it said if the earth could not even contain the books of all the things that Jesus did. Tell me about it. Where are people going to want to go that don't want God? Well, what's regeneration? It's a new birth. The Lord told Nicodemus, who was a wise man, he came to him by night. He said, what must I do to be saved? He said, you must be born again. Remember, go back to us and our righteousness. We live in a house of clay, of flesh. And we all deal with different things. You will never have victory by yourself. You need God, and even then sometimes you're going to struggle because it's like two dogs fighting.
Yeah.
And this goes right along with hungering after God. The one that wins is the one you feed.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can have victory in Jesus, but you got to know him. That's number one. How is it made? Through repentance. Here's simply what repentance is. It means that I'm walking my way and I'm going my direction. To repent is to turn. And we turn from the world back to God is to make a change. You don't make it by yourself. You make it through coming to the Lord and asking Him to do for you what you cannot do by yourself. You see, the making of a righteous man or of a person that hungers after God is made through Jesus. See, Jesus is the maker of righteous men and women. He's the Redeemer. He is the Savior. He is the Lord. We're going to have our young people go ahead and come up, and they're going to sing for us, and I'm proud of them and what they're doing. I want you to think about this, and you say, well, this is a hard message for me. I struggle. Let me tell you something, folks, we all struggle. Brother Rick's already said pray for him in the morning. He got to get up at 4:30 to go to work. Folks, I'm the same way. Amen. Brother Tommy, when you get up at 11, would you pray for us? Amen. Let me tell y'all something. Every one of you's got something you need God for. Yeah. Everybody.
Amen.
The question is, you're in the house of God this morning, and God has already spoke to your heart. Is what are you going to do about it? He said, well, I'm new here, I'm a visitor here, I'm afraid. Let me tell you something, God loves you,
that's right.
And if anybody says
that's
anything
right.
about you coming and praying,
yes.
that's
yes.
right.
Amen.
We're going to have a problem with that, right,
Amen.
Brother Terry?
Amen. Yes.
Would you please stand to your feet? Remember, what is it profited if a man will gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What do you want? What are you hungry for? If you want God, just come tell Him.
Come on.
Just come tell Him. Would you please come if God spoke to your heart?
Have you come to the end?
Appreciate our young people. They're just getting better and better. Been practicing. I'm going to let Alan make an announcement in a minute, so I'm not going to. I'm getting bad about stealing thunder. I'm going to have to quit doing that. Good to be in the house of the Lord. We are going to have a quick conference right after service, so we're going to take just a minute break. And then after that, I think we have a meeting they're going to meet to talk about the Spring Fling coming up. Spring Fling is going to be March 28th. The doors of the church were open, and they are open, and we're excited this morning. I'm gonna ask Miss Becky if you would play a song, a verse of Amazing Grace. And we got a family that wants to come be a part of our church this morning. If you're here while she's playing, and you'd like to come be a part of our church, you know, you see what God's doing here. If you'd like to come on down, we'll welcome you. All we want to do is serve the Lord till Jesus comes. It's good to have Brother Joey and his family with us this morning. Excited this morning.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, Brother Joey has been coming here a couple of years. And I've been saying, now, Brother Joey, is this your Sunday? He told me last week, he said, next Sunday is my Sunday. So we're very excited to have Joey Silvers and his daughters, Katie and Savannah, come to be joining the church this morning. They've all been saved. They're baptized. They've been coming here long enough that we know them. They know us. Now we can officially put them on the roll, and we can get you assigned to deacon family. And
amen.
We're glad to have y'all as part of our church. Amen. Can I get a move and a second that they be accepted?
I second.
Move and a second. All in favor, let it be known by saying amen.
Amen.
All right. If y'all want to go to the back, we'll shake hands with you. We'll go out. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Tommy. A couple of announcements. I want to get Brother Allen, if you would, to come on up. And Miss Darling's got one she's going to make as well. Be praying about what God's doing. We're excited about it.
We won't be long, church. We won't be long. I know that Longhorns is waiting on you. Or Texas Roadhouse. We can cram more in there. We've got a drama team, and we've got them. You've seen our band this morning, and some of them are sitting over there. Some of them don't want to come up here. They got stage fright, but they can play an instrument, you know, in front of you. We've put together a D-Now event this year. It's going to take place on March 13th and 14th. It's a Friday night. It goes all the way through a Saturday. It goes really late into Saturday, probably beyond a lot of your bedtimes, even mine. So it's going to be late. But what we've done is there's a drama that's going to have four scenes, and the band is going to play, and it's going to play worship music, and it's going to be live. And I'm going to preach three messages. And it's called Discipleship Now, or D-Now as you know it, and it's for 2020. And what we've done is we've put together these flyers. Miss Beth has put this together. She's done a great job. And I want to give out the little details before we get to the important part here. But at the bottom, there's a QR code, and I've continued to call that a scan code, and the youth keep telling me that's not a scan code, Mr. Allen. It's a QR code. So I don't understand my terminology, but this is what you're going to scan right here. If you scan this, what it does, it allows you to go to a page where you can fill out all the information about a child that's coming. And there's a spot there where you select which church they come from. Because, church, we've invited a few more churches, and most of them are going to be here. It is quite possible there'll be 200 teenagers here on that day. They've put in a lot of effort. They've put in a lot of time, and they're doing very, very good. God's blessing this already. We haven't even gotten to it yet. So, and I'm going to say just a few words, and we'll turn it over to Matthew. Discipleship now is important because if you really look at it, there are fewer and fewer young men and young women that are responding to the call of God into the ministry work. What are we doing with D now? We're helping them. We're helping them be the best accountant they can be, the best doctor, the best preacher, the best pastor, the best teacher, the best person, fireman, the ER, anything that they do, we want them to do it, and we want them to do it God's way. And that's what we're going to do. So y'all be praying about this. I'm going to turn it over to Matthew.
Can I have one of those?
You sure can.
Okay. I was just going to say a couple things. One is when you have your flyer, you don't have to have any special app or look anything up. You can just take the camera on your phone and put it right there on it, and it's going to give you a little link to click on. We had Mr. Chris help us with that, so we thank him for that. It's amazing. Tommy's having a nervous breakdown over there. it's amazing technology, but also just what God's done for us. If you have not been involved in a DNOW weekend or even a DNOW service, I encourage you, even if you're not a youth, come. If we need more chairs, we'll put these out and we'll bring smaller chairs in so we can fit more people. We'll have worship service schedules set up to where you guys can come see those if you're interested. Say I don't have time, there's no way I can be there, but, I want to support you. We desperately need prayer. So we appreciate any prayer that you guys give for us. We definitely feel those, and we know when you guys pray for us because it makes a difference. We'll be right out in the foyer. We'll have flyers and stuff if you're interested. So thank you.
Good morning, church. How are you? We are going to have a special night in Awana tonight, and as some of you that got their Awana flyer, just in case, I wanted to get up here and explain what tonight is. Tonight is barf night, and yes, I did say barf. It is bring a real friend, all right? I want all the kids to bring a friend. If you have no idea what Awana is, never heard about Awana, I want to invite you as well to come tonight, be a part of Awana, walk around with the kids, see what's going on. Because I want Awana to be a church-wide ministry. So come tonight, see what Awana is about. These kids, they're supposed to all bring a friend. Say you don't have any kids, you don't have any grandbabies, come and be a friend so these kids can say, I brought a friend, and meet one of these sweet babies. But come and be a part. And next Sunday, we are having Awana. I know it's Super Bowl, but we're having Awana, and we're going to call it Super Bowl Sunday. And the kids are going to bring in cans of soup. If you'd like to join them in this effort and bring in cans of soup, we would love that. But I know a lot of people have been telling me, but it's Super Bowl. But you know what? I want these babies to know that we put God first in everything, even above the Super Bowl. And I promise you, they're going to have lots of fun. But come tonight, be a friend for a kid, come and see what Awana is about. And I promise you, I will give you snacks and you will have fun. So come tonight to Awana.
Choir practice at 4:00, so if you can come practice with the choir, we're going to start looking at some Easter stuff. And you say, well, I'm not in the choir. If you'd like to be, come and see what it's about. And I want to say this, I appreciate Brother Allen. I appreciate Miss Darla. I appreciate the people up in the sound booth. I appreciate the Sunday school teachers. And church, I appreciate you. I consider it an honor and a privilege to be able to be here and worship with you. I really do. You come dismiss us, Brother Tom.
They were talking about scanning your phone on this thing. I was playing with my phone, and I had the whole women's ministry on my phone. And I had all the pictures, and I'm looking, I said, and they were talking back and forth. I said, what are y'all doing on my phone? They said, Tommy Bruce, what'd you do? I said, I don't know. I just hit a button. But I got the whole women's ministry call. So be careful when you're scanning. I never heard no such things as that. You take your phone, you scan something. Hey, if I call everybody, you know it's me. Let's dismiss. Wow. Let's dismiss. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this time.